Yesterday we had, if I say, a tag team of Wei Nang, the sixth ancestor, and his successor, Shen Wei, to help clarify and encourage our practice. So today we'll do something similar. Now, bringing up words and phrases of ancestors is not so that you need to remember what they say, but rather to encourage us to be the being that's manifesting these words. Be the, if I say, mind that comes forth in expressing itself in this way. So, I want you to hear that and chew on the words so that the words come forth from you. Not that you need to remember them, but be the, if I say, the ground that they grow out of, saying in such a way. So start with Lin Ji, who says, followers of the way, truth, the mind dharma is without form and pervades the 10 directions. In the eye it is called seeing, in the ear called hearing, in the nose smells odors, in the mouth it holds. In the hands it grasps and seizes, in the feet it runs and carries. Fundamentally, it is one pure radiance, citta pravasvara, that unfolds as the six spheres of being world. Since this mind dharma is not of the order of existence, there is not a single place that is not liberated. There, all dharmas are Buddha dharma. What is my purpose in speaking this way? I do so only because you followers of the way cannot stop your mind from running around everywhere seeking, and because you go clambering after the worthless contrivances of the men of old. In the eye it's called seeing, in the ear called hearing. What's this? This is the formless, all-pervading mind dharma. Pervading the 10 directions is all-pervading. And yet, we shouldn't get caught with that. So, I'll bring up Lin Ji's master, Wang Po. Wang Po in Sino-Japanese is Obaku, Lin Ji in Sino-Japanese is Rinzai. Wang Po says, fundamental mind does neither belong to seeing, hearing, and perceiving, nor is it separate from them. Just do not bring forth opinions on the basis of seeing, hearing, perceiving. Do not apply thought, do not think, conceptualize on the basis of seeing, hearing, perceiving. But do not look for mind apart from seeing, hearing, perceive. Do not reject seeing, hearing, perceiving in order to grasp the Dharma. Neither identical nor separate, neither abiding nor attaching. In other words, neither abiding within them nor attaching to them. One mind is in all ways self-manifesting, and there is nowhere, nowhere that is not the place of the way, of the truth. What is it that speaks so? What is it that manifests so? Let's not even just stick to nowhere or no place. Lingji says it even more. There is none among you, who is not the utmost profundity. None who isn't liberated. None. None includes you. Of course, none includes everyone you encounter as well. It's not just you in here. And yet, Wang Po, again, despite saying it one way, we fail to see it because we recognize only seeing, hearing, and perceiving as this mind dharma that is who we are. That's why I say be as is. Since mind becomes covered by seeing, hearing, and perceiving, we don't witness in our life the pure, bright, fundamental So all we have to do is be this that we are. Then we can testify. Then this fundamental basis that we are will appear of itself. This is important because by pointing out what we do, and of course when he says seeing, hearing, and perceiving, he's talking about everything that we do. When we attach, when we believe, conceptualizing, or thinking, when we miss it. We miss what? We miss this moment that we are. So, conceptualizing, seeing, hearing, perceiving is the opportunity to turn back, if I say that, to the ground out of which, of which the seeing, hearing, perceiving arises. The seeing, hearing, perceiving that is neither what we think about it nor anything else. See? Don't look for it out apart from your breathing, sitting, hearing. But don't notice if you're getting caught in opinions about or thinking, which is reactive habits based on seeing, hearing, perceiving, meaning memories, judgments, meaning feelings. Nowhere is he letting us stand, and yet nowhere is he letting us reject. That's this point of our sitting, of our practice, of our life. There's nothing that is not this dharma or this mind. But this mind is no mind, if we use such word. But don't make no mind into some sort of idea. Of themselves, if we don't cling to them, speculations and conceptualizations just arise and pass, just become transparent. But if we feed them, then we know what happens. We know where that goes. And why is it? If I quote Wang Po again, this mind is fundamentally pure. He and Linji are in agreement, aren't they? And is equally in, we'll use the word possessed, but be careful, by both Buddhas and ordinary people. Not only Buddhas and people, wriggling insects and all life. Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are all this one basis without any difference. See, you thought there was a difference. You thought, and you notice the differences. It is only through deluded thoughts and false discriminations, that beings create all kinds of karmic fruition. Karmic fruition means simply consequences that result in ongoing reactive habits and events, causes. See? So they're both coming here to help us, even though if I were to give dates, I should, just to place it in context. Wang Po is Chinese, and since he was Chinese, to the extent that I could pronounce it, Wang Po, we don't know when he was born, but he died in the mid-850s. 850s, that's towards the end of the Tang Dynasty. And we could say that fairly certainly because the person who recorded what I just read you was Pei Xu, who was a minister in the Chinese imperial government, and we have very clear dates for him. He was also a student of Wang Po's. Before that, he was a student of Zong Mi's. And he, after recording Wang Po's words, actually then sent out around copies of what he had written. In other words, what Wang Po had spoken to him, this extended text, extended set of lectures, and confirmed it with Wang Po's senior monks that it was what they heard from him too. And not only that, but we have another additional source. A crown prince of the imperial line who later became emperor was also a student of Wang Po's for a period of time in the monastery. So we have these external sources that allow us to date and confirm this record. We could even say that this record occurred between 842 and 848 in discussions between Wang Po and Pei Xu. Lin Ji, we know when he died. We know Lin Ji died 866, and he was about in his 50s. We don't know when he was born. In China, often dates of birth, I mean, you might find someone give one, but we really can't say it if the person born isn't born in a, what should I say, class of people where the birth date would be recorded in some way or other. If we think of it, this is more than 1,200, 1,300 years ago. But we have this, I'll call them a tag team of master and successor who together are articulating for us here in the year 2014, Common Era, articulating for us. Well, it's not quite 1,200 years, but anyway, articulating for us the Dharma, which isn't dependent on culture, place. Actually, is dependent on us being human, for me to speak, read, you to hear, but it isn't dependent on being human either. This mind, or this heart mind, or this being, see, it's fundamentally this that unfolds in all the various spheres. There's not a single place, a single being who's excluded. It's nothing but this that we live moment by moment, whether we call it this or not doesn't make a difference. And yet, if we can see it manifested for ourselves, then we can be all the more who we are. Of course, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say all the more. But I say it anyway. Truly, says Wang Po, this is without anything to be attained. This is the truth of what you are at this very moment, and also the truth of everything and everyone that you encounter. And it's not dependent on adding anything or taking away anything. It's only when we're attached to characteristics that we create trouble. Doesn't matter whether we're attached to characteristics and do so-called harm, or attached to characteristics and do so-called good. Neither of those, to quote Wang Po, is equal to knowing for ourselves, attesting in our life, this fundamental Dharma. And it doesn't make a difference if it's attained in a single moment or after 10 stages of bodhisattvahood and many kalpas. This is what he means when he says, Dharma is mind. Dharma means Dharma is all that you encounter from morning to night, all that you manifest from morning to night. No Dharma outside of mind or mind-heart. Again, I don't like the word mind, but I don't think there's a better one to translate the xin that he's using in Chinese. Mind is Dharma, and outside of Dharma there is no mind. Mind is no mind. Yet there is no mind, he says. Just take mind as no mind and no. If you take mind as no mind, you make mind into something that exists. See, then again, it leads to conceptualizing and characteristics, because it's this moment being as is, not being as we think. Otherwise, it becomes words we see, speak, believe, conditions we like or don't like. So as I said, we've enlisted this tag team to help and encourage us. Or I should say it differently. I've enlisted them, and we're now getting the chance to enlist them. Doesn't matter that they're died, that they're gone, so to speak, because they're not gone. This mind is our, but not some magical thing. This mind is exactly hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting. See, that's what Linji said. In the eye it is called seeing. In the ear it is called hearing. So, the reason we practice together is because it's the opportunity to be as is. To manifest who and what we are. And in so doing, taste it a little bit for ourselves. Hear it a little bit. Feel it. I say a little bit, and that's really wrong. It's terrible to say. Taste it completely. There is no little bit. And in manifesting it, we support others and ourselves in being this practice, being this one basis without any difference between Buddhas and wriggling insects. Tomorrow we'll maybe extend that further. But okay, I spoke too much, but we can maybe clarify this a little bit together in a way that supports us in our practice of this mind of no mind, no outside, no inside Dharma. That is what our sesshin is, this unified mind. This is the same word when we use the word sesshin to describe what we do here. Sometimes we use an English word like retreat, but that has all sorts of ideas, because we're not retreating from anything. Though we have a schedule and a form, even if we were off out in the middle of the prairie and so-called retreating, you discover you bring along the universe with you. So, But it's fine to use the word retreat, but I like to use the word sesshin, and then have the opportunity to clarify it in different ways. Okay, I'll stop now. If you want to change your posture, position, please do. Yes, Shojo.
So I really don't have anything to. I don't know what to make of Wang Po's, you know, discourse. But so it doesn't really mean anything to me unless unless I can verify it some way.
Okay.
So how does one go about to verify that? That you can't just take his word for it. I mean, I don't care how many people tell him. You know,
good. So instead of taking his word for it, be seeing, hearing, smelling, walking, sitting, standing. And when you discover characteristics that you're attaching to it, turn that and look, who's attaching? Who's look? Because it's only that that's taking you off, that's covering up this mind that you are. It's only that that's keeping you from being in accord with what you are. It's only those, as he puts it, speculations and conceptualizations. So if you don't buy into that, if I could say it in that word,
buy into conceptualization,
yes, then the, what should I say, conditioned characteristics and reactive habit of itself is transparent, isn't what it seems to be. See, it's, if I use an analogy, it's as if we take this whole space and narrow it down into this little conceptualization, characteristic reaction. Here. There's a few kids. There's Joseph, who's playing as king, and Miriam, who's playing as queen, and Michael, who's playing as servant, and let's pick a different name, Betty, who's playing as a maid. They're having a play, and they're, you know, king is ordering this, queen is saying this, the maid brings this, the servant brings that. Okay, they're having a play, and then we have intermission. Intermission of the play, Michael and Miriam get into a fight because Michael is not following her order. She says, I'm queen, you have to follow my orders. And he says, what do you mean? No, you have to follow my orders. I'm going to hit you if you don't follow my orders. See, you even smiled at that without even thinking. What are those kids doing? That's a play. But they believe the play. They believe the characteristics. They believe the story and reaction. So, of course, the position that they believe for themselves or don't believe for themselves is what creates trouble, both ways. We take this vast universe that's nothing but this, if I use the word mind dharma, but I shouldn't use such a word, nothing but our life, and we turn it into the play that we've been playing, and on the basis of that, We get angry, hurt, upset, beat up people, get beat up, because we believe the play. Now, a play is fine. In fact, when you're doing a play, do the play exactly as you're supposed to. That's what gives the sense of the play. But if we believe the play during intermission, after the play, before the play, then we create all sorts of difficulties. If we remember the play next day and say, I'm so angry at him, he doesn't follow my rules, he doesn't follow my orders, or vice versa, she's oppressing me, she's cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, then what happens? What's the consequence? So, if you want to take it in terms of practice, notice what play you're believing. And look. Experience the present moment as it is, not clinging to the play characteristic attributes. Speculations and conceptualizations is the way Wang Po says it, but we say it in all sorts of ways. Notice when you're caught in self-centered, and that, use that as a reminder for a practice effort. So you don't have to believe his words. He's encouraging you, but he's also encouraging you to know that every moment of your functioning is nothing but this. So every moment of your functioning is nothing but the opportunity to manifest this. See? Whether it's Wang Po or Lin Ji says, I in the eye, it is called seeing. In the ear, it is called hearing, and so forth. That means your seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, moving, etc., etc., is nothing but this. It's nothing but this fundamental pure radiance unfolding in all these ways. So you don't have to go anywhere else. That's why our session is so simple. It's doing ordinary things. And yet, the form of session enables us, because it's so simple and stripped bare, to see what we're adding on when we're adding on. Enables us to be this because we're not entangled further in all the various activities. It's not that the activities are problematic, it's that we get entangled, or to use the word he uses, attached to characteristics, all sorts of similar words. Remember, this was 1200 years ago in China where he spoke that. Now, even there, even people who are practicing Dharma, because this is a tendency that we beings have. I'll just talk about humans. We don't have to deal with other sentient beings and how they become caught in discriminations of all sorts. But we know for ourselves what humans do. And you don't have to know about other humans. We know for ourselves what we do. So you just have to take care of shoujos. Because everyone else, you see, is nothing but this one, if you want to say, pure fundamental mind. Nothing but that. See? Can't be anything. Even if they try, even if you try, can't be anything else. But if we don't taste it for ourselves, if we believe the characteristics, then, as he says, one vainly goes through repeated cycles of samsara. One vainly undergoes laborious suffering. Vainly. Why is it vainly? Vainly is because it's not necessary. It's because we put on this play And then despite the fact that it's intermission, and despite the fact that the play is over, we continue to insist on what we've convinced ourselves and each other. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And it sounds like it's... I couldn't see or discern what that mind is that he's talking about, because I'm always looking for some kind of characteristic that is of that, and it's not that.
And you don't have to go out to discern it, because it is your very act of trying to discern it that's so, that's it. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. It's your seeing, hearing, smelling, speaking, thinking, every functioning that you say is you, every functioning that we are, is this. See? There's no problem with the king saying, "I order you so and so," as long as the king doesn't believe that he's king, and that it's a basis for all sorts of things, because then he gets entangled, undergoes laborious suffering because of it, to use the translation of this Chinese.
You mentioned something about deluded thoughts and something else, and I can't remember what the other...
Neither can I. I don't remember anything I say.
Some thinking that's not diluted, that's some kind of way to...
I don't know. Thinking is just thinking. It's not a problem. It's just when we attach to it and believe it. See? It's the way he says it.
Just permitting something or something to delude thoughts and just some kind
of... So, for instance, characteristics are fine. I need to know that this is hard and that this liquid is soft. Otherwise, I put my mouth onto this stick and I can't drink it. So, characteristics are characteristics. Don't be a fool. And yet, if I become attached to characteristics, if I do things based on characteristics that entangles me, entangles others, otherwise, sure, I could drink this stick. But if I get upset that I'm still thirsty and I start blaming you, then all sorts of harm and suffering comes from that. So I don't remember what word you're... So you have to remember that. You have to be... Or as Lin Ji says, it's only because we don't stop mind from running around everywhere seeking and clambering after contrivances of all sorts. Because we believe the contrivances and we don't realize who and what we are. We don't be who and what we are. That's why Sashin is so simple. Being as is. Being who you are. So don't worry about which word you specifically did or didn't hear or do or don't remember. There's endless ones. But they're not something that you need to hold on to. Or as he says, don't bring forth opinions on the basis of the seeing, hearing, and perceiving. Or apply thoughts to that. and yet don't go anywhere else. Don't look for anything anywhere else aside from hearing. If you think it's in some magical place, this great void elsewhere, I'm going to deeply sit and realize this void or emptiness or such things, then we turn no mind into some sort of thing and we become attached to that. See? Don't reject, he says, seeing, hearing, and perceiving in order to grasp some dharma somewhere else. It's not the same, but it's not separate. It doesn't abide and it's not attached. See, it's, or as he says it, it's in all ways manifesting or self-manifesting, and it is, there is nowhere that is not the place of the truth. There's no one, to go to Linji, who is not this liberated Buddha Dharma. No one.
So what do I, or what does one do with all these ideas? And
let them, they're gone. I said them, they're gone. Use them as a reminder and a support to do your practice. When you breathe, be breathing. When you stand up, be standing up. And when you find yourself entangled in characteristics, make the effort, if I say it that way, of a skillful, appropriate practice. To you, even use that entanglement energy, that karmic habit, to turn you back, so to speak, open you up, so to speak, to being as is, to this moment ground out of which the light of the seeing, hearing arises, if I say such a thing. That's all. Don't have to plan anything else. No plans needed, because it's always this. Doesn't matter what you plan. Even your planning is nothing but this. Just don't stick to it. Otherwise you'll be like the kids playing and making plans during intermission and getting into all sorts of trouble because it's not going the way they decided, having being the king or the thief or the whatever position they are in the play. See, that's what I mean when I say reactive habits. It seems almost automatic, and it is in a way. It's what you might call karmic habits. You could use that word, but that word entangles us because then we get ideas of what that means. Karmic habits. Cycles of samsara. And then we've build up a picture. It's a simple way of just talking about the fact that events arise and pass inside and outside. We don't know all the sources of them, and nevertheless we find ourselves all caught up in, I'm the king and they're supposed to listen to me. I should beat them up for not listening to me. I should be angry at them forever and not invite them to my parties or whatever. And we do that in our own way. Okay? Yes.
I've often heard the phrase, seeing is enough. So it's just to ask...
Say it again.
Seeing is enough.
Seeing is enough. Okay.
Seeing our habits as they arise. Not that we have to do anything with them. But to see them clearly... begins the process of alleviating ourselves of this? We see them over and over again as they arise.
It could be. But for some people, they could see it and then continue it. So, see, if you see it,
over
and then...
And over.
Yeah, but we could see it over and over and then continue acting out of it. So, in a sense, we counteract anything that we've seen because we just see it conceptually.
Well, I'm not speaking conceptually. Seeing clearly, seeing
okay.
Arise is the process by which we have the opportunity to work with those habits as they come up.
Yes, that's true, if we see it as it is. However, I want to stress that lots of times we use the word, oh, I saw that, and all we've done is thought about it or had a little glimpse, but then almost instantaneously jumped back into the habitual reaction. Okay, I saw it, but...
Well, as Ed said yesterday, when he sees a belief, he asks himself, is that true?
Okay, see, so that's the next.
So it's to look at it, to take it,
that's right.
To see more clearly what it is we're believing, we're attaching to.
I wouldn't say, it's not even a matter of to see more clearly, because we don't have to worry about that. So it's not our trying to see more clearly, but to turn the looking and to allow the is it true to nurture what's so. So that of itself, we don't have to do anything to taste, to hear, to smell, to be what we are. And yet, it has to occur when we allow it. Just like, if we hold tight, then our breathing is very labored. But if we don't, if we release the holding tight, then the breathing of itself breathes us. If we hold tight to reactive habits, then this very seeing, hearing, smelling that is nothing but this gets labored into laborious suffering, to quote Obako. So, yeah, you're right. It's nothing to do. That's why it's so simple. And yet, in the midst of the simplicity, when we find ourselves laboring, then we need to make whatever is the appropriate effort. But there's nothing to do. That's why sitting is just be as is.
So a question. When you talk about just seeing, just perceiving, it seems the trouble arises when we add to that. When we go from just perceiving to I like that food or I dislike that food, and then there's an attachment that arises from the adding on to direct perceiving, seeing, feeling.
Even I like or I don't like is nothing but this functioning of mind. But
it's the attachment to them that creates the problem.
That's right. And attachment is a habit. That's why when in the Four Practice Principles we say caught in self-centered dream. It's not that you like or don't like. It's the reactiveness when your likes don't get met, or you want more of your likes, which is another reactive habit, to pick that one. So it's very subtle, and it isn't any particular form. It's the way it arises now. And it arises in myriad ways. And that's, in one sense, just the karmic cause and effect, if I say that sort of thing. It's the ongoing cause and effect that is Buddha nature, and yet that we get entangled with when we self-centeredly conceptualize, hold on to it in different ways. So yes, you're right. Every moment, seeing, hearing, and so forth is just the opportunity. And there's nothing extra that's needed. If in the big sky, all sorts of clouds come and go. But if we get stuck on one of them, then we're in trouble. If we insist that this cloud is the only right cloud at this moment, then we lose track of the sky, and we certainly can't step off the cloud.
I have to say that when I remember to look, is this true? More often than not, there's no answer. It's not a question that's answered.
Uh-huh.
But what it does is it gives me pause to take a broader view.
Yes.
And to see that what I was believing to be the truth is just a piece of something or part of something or an aspect or a characteristic of something that I was focused on and concentrated on and holding on to.
Yes.
You have something to say?
I won't even say that you were holding on to. The very focusing on it and the holding to it is the you, makes the you. There isn't some separate you holding on to it.
Right.
So, in a sense, if I say it a little differently, it allows it to be transparent. It allows it to arise and pass.
Right, exactly. And I like your play analogy. I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
So it seemed to me that Miriam's problem wasn't believing that she was the queen. Her difficulty arose from not wanting just to be Miriam.
It's believing that she was the queen when she was no longer the queen.
Like there's something wrong with just being Miriam, just being who she was and as she was. And not able to order people around or get her way or have things go the way she wanted.
When she was queen, she needs to be queen. And she needs to order people around. Because otherwise the play doesn't work.
Yeah, you're right.
Now remember, it's just a play. But if she doesn't do a queenly job, then...
It's not a good play.
Yeah, it fails.
Right. Nobody believes she's the queen.
Yeah. And... because it goes like that, stops, if I say it like that, then you're queen, you're not queen, you're servant, you're da 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 da.
Yeah. She's a method actor.
Yeah.
I just, for myself, it's when I look at it, it's real silly, but it's not at the time. And It's sort of like when I can't find something, and I know that it was, you know, that I did something uh-huh. with it, but immediately what comes up that somebody else must have put this somewhere else or stolen it outright.
Uh-huh.
And even though I know better, I can't seem to wrench myself away from that kind of thinking. It's sort of like Velcro, you know, just it's uh-huh. that difficult to rip that, and you can feel like it's going to rip, you know, it's going to hurt to even consider trying to separate from that attachment, and like blood's going to spill, and it's so I feel almost helpless to change and be free of that.
That's why we call it reactive habits, or I call it reactive habits. The Heart Sutra talks about fear and no fear, because fear is what generates, whether it's because someone else took it or, oh, how could I be so stupid to not remember what's wrong with me? I don't know where I put it. I, for one, also like when I can't find something, my habit is to look further till I find it. But if I beat myself up over not finding it, then I just create trouble for myself and for others. Much less if you get into a certain mood. You can't, don't bother me now. You're making trouble or whatever. Then you end up creating harm. All sorts. And then you could see the consequences in all sorts of ways in interactions between people. Whether in families or with strangers, on the road, you know, whether it's about whether you could find something or whether I could go faster or someone cut me off as if there's a direction that I'm supposed to have of where I'm going. But if someone cuts you off, you see people pull out guns and etc. over that. Chase people, crash into people. I mean, I'm just picking one example. But those are extreme and we all could agree. But what's more important is to notice the examples that exist in our life and to notice it while they're arising. Again, the karmic habits, if I use that word, I use the word karmic just in the sense that it's something that comes from we don't know where. So you don't have to figure out where the habit comes from except to notice the reactive habit now. That reactive habit is our opportunity. It's nothing but this universe manifesting. And yet, if we can notice it, if we can see it just a little bit, even sense it in our fear or our pain or suffering, then we no longer need to be bound by it and act it out. Act it out as in the play. We don't need to act it out because, oh, I'm on intermission now. I don't need to act out how angry I am at my cousin because last year he did such and such and she did such and such. Or, forget about last year, 10 years ago. Or didn't do. And many of us can testify to how that sort of thing could go on for generations sometimes even, where generations in the family will hold on to such stories.
Well, the example you gave about the stick, about that it's important to see characteristics for what they are. And I don't know if this goes back to what Ron was saying, but if I can just see that this stick is a stick without adding on, it should be otherwise, then I know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I don't know, I just can think of different situations. We got this dog a couple of years ago, and she's not the dog I thought she was going to be.
Oh, you knew what she was going to be like.
I thought I did. But when I can just see how she is and how to be with her, being as she is, then it's fine. But when I'm, she should be different. Then, and same for Andy and Anne Marie, but sometimes the dog is easier to work with. But I mean, it's. So when, I don't remember which guy it was that said about not making opinions based on what you see. So me being able to see the dog the way she is, or you being able to see the stick, that's not an opinion. That's necessarily, that's like reality. The opinion is it should be different.
And the opinion is if we're limited by our ideas or characteristics, by our limited ability to see characteristics, because our dualistic sense and senses only see certain aspect of characteristics. That's even more so. I mean, some of you have biological training, and you can see this most clearly in how we discover all sorts of other beings perceive in realms that we don't perceive, that are always going on right now, and yet we only see certain characteristics. Right now there are other characteristics that we don't perceive, that, let us say, insects perceive, that elephants perceive, that dogs perceive, that, and believe it or not, different people perceive different characteristics, and we're blind to some, and yet we insist that the ones we perceive are
the right ones,
and the ones that are significant, and so on and so forth. long ago I was very clear that though I enjoy music and appreciate music, I have a very hard time perceiving the differences in musical tones and all the different categories. And it's brought all the more to me that, you know, some of my family members clearly perceive that. You know, my son's a musician and plays multiple musical instruments, and he, you know, and yet his sister has a very hard time perceiving that. I won't speak much for her, but I don't know what he's talking about when he starts saying, oh yeah, here's this and here's that. And, you know, playing on the piano, on the guitar, on the mandolin, on drums, whatever. And the same, his grandfather. And the same, you know, and obviously some of it, there's karmic tendencies that we call biology and genetics, etc. Some of it is other things. Doesn't make a difference. My mother-in-law insists that I could learn to muse. I mean, she's a is an opera singer and teaches voice, and she insisted I could learn to perceive and actually replicate it, but it just takes the energy that I haven't. But as far as I'm concerned, it's impossible because I don't know what they're talking about. But the point is that we perceive what we do. The perceiving is just perceiving. The attachment to the characteristics in all the various forms, whether in hearing or smelling or tasting or thinking about or anything else, is what gets us in trouble. The acting out about on those attachments creates all sorts of reactive habits that occur almost automatically and create stress and suffering. Or as Obaku says, as Wang Po says, vainly causing one to vainly undergo laborious suffering. Vainly, notice he says vainly. In other words, we don't need to do it, but we do it anyway because we're attached to characteristics. And he says that in terms of doing good. He doesn't even say that in terms of doing bad. In terms of doing bad, he says one vainly goes through repeated cycles of samsara because it doesn't make a difference. They're both the same. Though bad has more painful, harmful circumstances for others. Yes?
You mentioned, I believe it was 10 steps or 10 attributes of suffering.
There's a traditional Buddhist typology, let's call it that, where there's 10 stages of bodhisattvahood. So, what Wang Po is saying doesn't make a difference whether it's attained in a single moment or after 10 stages through 10 endless periods of time. The accomplishment, the attainment, the realization is exactly the same. There's no further gradations of profundity, only the vain striving during successive eons. That's the way he puts it. What he's saying is this, whether we call it no mind, is attained instantaneously. It does. There's some who attain it, he says, in a single thought moment, hearing something said, and some who attain after passing through 10 faiths, 10 abodes, 10 practices, 10 conversions. In spite of the differing lengths of time it takes them to attain, to realize, to be as we are, once one resides in this, nothing else needs to be cultivated or attained. That's what he's saying. Because this is what we are from the very beginning. See? wriggling insects, all life, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all are this one basis. That means everyone here included, whatever, wherever in that category you want to put yourself, doesn't make a difference. And so in a sense, it is only deluded thoughts and discriminations that creates the karmic difficulty. So in a sense, this is the practice principles turn in the other direction, because then he adds the caught and self-centered dream afterwards, and being just this moment start is what he starts. Doesn't make a difference which way you go. I mean, we have to know that he is going to speak in the typology and language of Buddha Dharma, and the same Linji. See, I didn't read it, but Linji goes on to say, if you take my viewpoint, what I was reading, you can cut off the heads of Sambhogakaya, Nirmanakaya, Buddhas, a Bodhisattva who attained the complete mind of 10th stage as a mere hireling, and so on and so forth. See, they all use that language, that context, because that's the people they speak to resonate with that. I didn't read it just because it's just me, it adds more mind chatter for some of us trying to figure out what do those all mean and who's where, and it's not of use here now today, so I didn't go into it. If you want, I do, and then I just feed other things that's of no use.
What if you're on a jury?
Good. Then your job is to be playing the jury person. That's, you know, that's your play at the moment.
Okay, so that's a play.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We're all in plays. I'm playing being a Zen teacher right now. That's why I'm up here talking. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother with this. I have to prepare. I have to, you know, think of subjects every time, etc., etc. I could take the easy way. Some people do. They just pick a text, let's say a koan text, and they go first, the second, the third, and it's all set forth, and you just go one after another, and it's all easy. You don't have to come up with any particular subject.
If you're in a play, then how can you be sort of, you know, non-thinking?
You be the play completely. Give yourself away to experiencing, being the experiencing of the play, without getting caught up in attaching to it. See, that's what it's the same, that's what Linji is saying. In the eye it is called seeing, in the ear it is called hearing, and so on and so forth. And that's also what Wang Po is saying. It's not when you're in the play, it's the seeing, hearing, etc. Just don't, as he puts it, bring forth opinions on the basis of the seeing, hearing. In other words, act where you are. When you're in the jury member, then you hear the evidence and you, according to the rules that the judge sets forth, make the judgment. That's your job. Or don't be on the jury. That's another choice. Sometimes we have a choice, sometimes we don't. Don't look for this apart from seeing, hearing. Don't reject it. At the same time, don't apply thought on that basis. Don't hold on to it. And, you know, when you get your jury notice, you might do something so as not to be on that jury. Or all sorts of other things. I know someone who, when they got a jury notice, they claimed to be on the other side of the country to avoid it.
If you already know your chairman of the jury.
Well, then you have to do your best. But what's interesting is when reactive habits get in the way. In fact, we're often cautioned when you're on a jury not to let those interfere, or you're asked, would those interfere with your seeing what needs to be done here? And based on whatever happens, whatever the judge and the attorneys bring forth, making the choice. And not to be swayed by news reports that you heard before or even during. In fact, that's why you're cautioned not to pay attention to those. So you've got to do your jury duty. Can't help you there. Thank you. So tomorrow we'll have another team of practice supporters who join us to support us in being as is, being as we are.
Copyright Elihu Genmio Smith.